What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Hey, I thought I was supposed to train him today.
You go tomorrow. Got some moves I want to teach.
All right, but can you tell me that ahead of time? I mean, we got to stay on the same page, otherwise they're going to be sending mixed messages.
Don't get your panties in a bunch. All right, we are on the same page. Look, Miyagi-Do, remember? I even came up with my own kata. Big circle. Big circle. Breathe in. Breathe out. Elbow to the face. Punch to the throat. Lift his ass up. And dump.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is Cobra Kai Cast.
This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 5, Best of the Best.
Best of the Best.
I don't know about that title.
No, it's the worst.
Yeah, it's like worst of the worst.
Worst of the best, worst of the worst.
Best of the worst.
I'll read the synopsis. Tori, everybody hates each other, and it's a bummer. Okay, let's go. What are your points? I'm just kidding. Tori encounters Kreese while returning from the medical center, who warns her not to trust Miyagi-Do. Daniel and Johnny decide to have Sam, Tori, Miguel, and Robbie fight each other to secure their spots as team captains. That sentence is so misleading. Sam and Tori have to decide who's going to be the female captain, Miguel and Robbie the male. Tori returns home only to discover her mother has died due to an undetected blood clot. On the day of the contest, Robbie defeats Miguel to become male captain. During the girls' fight, Tori displays aggression and is about to score the winning point when Daniel intervenes before she reveals to everyone of her mother's death and leaves the team, forfeiting the female captain position to Sam. This incident causes an argument between Daniel and Johnny over how they should have handled the situation, ending with them planning to never speak to each other again after the tournament. Well, Johnny says that about Daniel. Hawk is selected to take over Tori's spot on the team, with Dimitri being slightly displeased at the turn of events. Really? I didn't even notice that. As Robbie and Sam are given their captain headbands, Daniel suddenly recognizes a similar headband from Mr. Miyagi's chest and realizes his sensei may have fought in the Sakai Taikai 2 as a team captain, and that his headband was actually bloodied at the ends, making Daniel question his beliefs. The Miyagi-Do team arrives in Barcelona for the tournament, where they encounter Kreese and Dae-yoon's new four-member Cobra Kai representing South Korea, led by Kwon and Tori. Dun, dun, dun.
Dang, Tori's a lead already, huh? Wow.
I guess so. Yeah, well, I mean, Kreese said, "You're my champion."
Yeah. Kreese, always popping up.
I know.
Like a bad penny.
Maybe he'll die at the end. God. He'll die, and then it'll just say the end.
Yeah. everything we fought for is over.
So, Rich, I'm curious. You didn't like it, huh? What'd you think?
You know, I do have mixed feelings about it. I mean, good Lord. We just finished our last podcast talking like extensively about how we didn't think they were going to touch the top four. And then that's all they frickin' did in this episode. It screwed everything up. It's like they were playing a horrible game of chess or something. But and then, you know, probably the most emotional of all of that was Tori. It kind of went right for the jugular with that. But man, this episode was fast paced, and I'll be honest, I was like, what the hell is going on? So I liked it better the second time. But my head is still spinning a little bit.
Yeah. It was very soap opera-ish. You're just like, oh, so much drama and conflict. What about you, Rima?
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I liked the pace. I liked that they touched on most of all of the storylines. And I do think there was some really good tension. I think there were a few predictable moments, but I think that they were kind of fun predictable, even though I, you know, kind of called, you know, a few things. It was still, you know, it didn't like ruin it. Like, oh, I already knew that was going to happen. It was kind of like, yeah, I kind of thought that was going to happen, but it was cool the way that they did it, you know? So I enjoyed it. I think there was a lot of great tense moments. And I'm super excited to see the next five. They have, I don't know if either one of you had a chance to see it. I didn't see it until my second watch earlier. They have, they did a, like a behind the dojo kind of 11-minute episode, kind of recapping and talking about the first five episodes of the season with some of the cast members and the showrunners. And that was pretty cool. And then they, there in the last couple of minutes, were teasing the next five, you know, really kind of getting you pumped up. So I don't know if that's what helped drive me over the edge a little bit, maybe seeing that, kind of getting you pumped for the next five. But I had a good time with it. I'm excited.
Are you going to, during your points, talk about the parts you thought were predictable but fun? Or should I ask you about that now?
I do have it in my points.
Okay,
yeah.
we'll wait then. But yeah, because, I mean, I think... Clearly, the idea, they're going into this tournament, this big international, to decide who the best karate students are in the whole entire world. So it's huge. It's a huge deal. And I think the idea of this episode is to just have them start off in a sketchy, shaken up situation so that we'll be worried for them and it will be more dramatic. But anxious, and I thought kind of a bummer, but it's the first part of a three-part story, and they have, I thought about Game of Thrones, like we always used to say, if you think this story has a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention. With Cobra Kai, I would say if you haven't been paying attention if you think this isn't going to have a kick-ass triumphant ending, you know. we're going to be left feeling good, I think. That's my prediction anyway. So right now it's like I just feel like we got kicked in the stomach here, and I think, Rima, what you said about I didn't see that 11 minute thing to help me get jazzed for the next part, so I'm just kind of like, oh God, they're in a really bad place.
I mean, it was, I don't know if you guys felt surprised, but when they went to the Barcelona just like that, I was like, what?
Yeah.
We're already here?
That did throw me off. I wasn't expecting to already, you know, kind of be in Barcelona and like seeing an introduction and getting to see other fighters. And I was like, oh, dang. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're just like, we're ready to just like when we drop into the next five, like, boom,
that's
you're just
going
to be dropped right in the middle.
Because if this was Walking Dead, we would not be here yet. It would be at the end of the damn season. But
depends on the season.
It depends on the season, yeah. But most of them. But I think it makes me wonder, are they going to extend the whole Sakai Taikai thing throughout the next 10 episodes? Yeah. Or is it just going to be the next five? Or I kind of hope that they have at least one episode after, back home in the valley, for all the loose ends to be tied up, you know?
Yeah.
At least one.
Well, I mean... Yeah. They could just do, it's like you said, Rima, it's in three parts. So maybe the second part is the tournament, and then the third part is just all five episodes are when they're back in the valley, or mm-hmm. dealing with the fallout or victory or whatever is going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm curious if that's how they'll do it. When you think it's like the end of the whole series, so think of everything that needs to be wrapped up. So yeah, I'm curious if the part three, if you will, that drops next year, I guess sometime, mm-hmm. will be that, you know, kind of firming up and kind of ending, giving everyone a good, I hope anyway, a satisfactory good ending.
I read that the last five are just Chosen and Kumiko arguing the whole time.
We still got their story too, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure that's gonna be told.
They have to give us something, even if it's just in passing. They never even firmly, yes, we saw him look on his phone, flights to, you know, Okinawa or whatever, but they've literally just not even said anything about it. They've not addressed it or mentioned it at all. Like, he's just gone.
I know. They don't even acknowledge that he disappeared or anything. That's how much they
not
cared
like
about
a letter.
Him. Amanda seems in a better mood. I'll say that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, now she just got to deal with Johnny and Daniel's drama.
Let's get into our points. Rima, you want to go first?
Why not? The first thing I want to talk about, kind of short and sweet, and they always do a good job. So, you know, it's not like, oh, this episode was like over the top over any other episode. Anytime they've got fighting, and no matter who's fighting, whether it's, you know, like in this episode, the kids who are all on the same team, or if you've got, you know, opponents, like we got the, you know, Johnny and what the heck was his name?
Daniel.
A few episodes ago.
Just kidding.
No, sorry.
Barnes.
Yes, Barnes. Yeah. Gosh, I've already forgotten the dude's name. That's Mike, very sad.
AJ Quartermain.
Yes, AJ Quartermain. That's how I know him. But they always have really great fights. But there was just something about this episode's fighting that, maybe it's just all the seasons of all these actors and their training paying off, kind of like it has in Miyagi-Do, right? They've all been training this long in Miyagi-Do to get ready for the Sekai Taikai. But something about this episode where the fighting was just so top-notch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Miguel and Robbie's fight, I thought, was so
one of the best
awesome.
We've seen, I think.
Yeah,
in
it
this
was
whole
great.
Series.
It was fantastic. And I thought there was really great tension building. Now, this is when I mentioned some things that I did call Robbie. I was like, I think Robbie's gonna get this one. But it was still tense, even though I kind of had that in the back of my head that he was gonna win. It didn't make it less tense. It still felt like there was something like to lose there. And, I don't know, they could subvert some expectations, or at least my expectations, and it could be Miguel. But I thought it was super tense. And I just knew, and whenever he spotted Tori, I go, yep, it's his. Like, just something about, he got super focused.
Yeah, and Miguel looked thrown off and kind of all up in his head and everything.
Yeah, I think Miguel was pretty balanced, I think, but it was something about whenever he saw Tori, that really kind of brought Robbie, I think, to the space he needed to be to really get his head into the fight and get those points. So that was, I thought, really, really great. And I thought Tori and Sam's fight also was really great. The tension between those two, I just thought it led up to some really great tense moments. I don't usually get too what's going to happen and like on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
But with those two fights, between the girls and guys, I just thought they were fantastic. I was worried for Sam, because, you know, Tori, where she was mentally, and not in a good place, I thought, oh my gosh, she could kind of revert back to Tori that we saw in earlier seasons. She plays
dirty. I'm
coming
for you, bitch. She should start it off with that.
Yeah, I thought, oh my gosh, she might really hurt Sam.
Yeah.
You know, and after how far they had come, and I was really worried that she was, I was like, oh, here we go again, you know, kind of going back to that place again. Yeah. So I thought there were some really great tense moments. I really liked the choreography of Robbie when he was training outside of the apartment area out in out in the center there. And he kept hearing that second place, second place, second place, mm-hmm. Over and over again. And it was kind of heartbreaking, because it was like, I was like, oh, yeah. I kind of forgot like all those fights that he had, and like he kept coming in second place, and Robbie's a really great fighter, you know, and he's got it in him. And I thought his acting was really, really well done. I like the choreography of his sparring, and training. But then it like hearing that, it broke my heart because it was like not only showing, second place in tournaments, but it reminded me of like also kind of being second place when it came to Johnny too, when he was growing up, you know, and it just kind of added that extra layer
behind Miguel at times.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just loved that. I've always, I kind of crapped on Robbie early on in some of the,
well, the haircut early in the season. Had a lot to do with that. So
yeah, that's over haircut, now. But, but I just, that's my number one. Just, I thought the choreography was outstanding. And the fighting was just top tier. And gave us some really great tense moments. Loved it.
It was. It was a good, it was a great time to show us that too, you know, right before they go to the tournament. It's like, hey, they really did get better after all this time of practicing.
Yeah.
And the second fight too with Tori, that one I was more tense than the first one with
Yeah, she was like raging and out of control.
Yeah. I was like, don't hurt Sam.
Yeah, I thought, okay. I mean, I loved it. It really did stand out, especially, I mean, with Tori and Sam, I was more just like, oh my God, this is not going to end well. So I was nervous and not paying so much attention to the fighting, except being worried that Sam would get injured. But especially with Robbie and Miguel, I was just like, wow, this is great. This is one of the best fights of the series. And then there was a part of me thinking, all right, they're flipping around and doing spinning jump kicks. Who taught them that? Because I know Daniel and Johnny did not teach them that.
They've evolved. They've evolved.
Right. They've passed their teachers.
Surpassed. All those movies great. Johnny made him watch. Huh?
Jean-Claude Van Damme taught him.
Old Eric Roberts movies. That was so cool.
See, talk his about massive throwback. Legs and how he can do the splits.
That, yeah. Eric Roberts, that was best of the best. Which is a 1989 martial arts movie that I think, if I remember right, it's about a team of American martial artists that go to an international competition, right?
Yeah.
And it has Eric Roberts, who's Julie Roberts' brother, and it has Sean Penn's brother, Chris Penn. And it has this Korean guy, well, I forgot his name, but he plays a character, I think, called Tommy Lee. And, I love that movie. It was one of my favorite martial arts movies. I don't know if it holds up, but I remember getting almost like a Karate Kid feel from watching it. Like, come on.
I remember Eric Roberts was ripped. Jeez.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. And it's a good one to feature because it sort of parallels, you know, they're sending a team off for an international competition. And it's the Sakai Taikai tagline, best of the best.
Yeah.
So yeah, Robbie, like I looked at, cause I had forgotten, but we've only seen two All Valley tournaments. Is that right? In the series. And, the first one, Miguel won, he beat Robbie in the final, and Miguel was Cobra Kai and he was being really aggressive. And then the next one, Hawk beat Robbie.
Hawk won,
But I think it's kind of cool that Robbie and Sam are the captains. And I think it's kind of dumb that they choose a captain and that's the person who's definitely going to fight for the final in the tournament. What are the rest of the people doing there then? It seems like everyone should have a chance to win, but whatever. That's how they're setting it up. So I like that it's Sam and Robbie because Sam is Daniel's daughter and Robbie is Johnny's son. And it's Robbie's turn to win something. And just the fact that it's related to the two main characters makes it pretty interesting to me, you know?
I noticed that too. Yep. When they were putting the bandanas on, Daniel was putting it on his daughter and Johnny was putting it on his son. And I'm like, oh, look at that. How convenient.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
But I was thinking how among the four, Johnny's been kind of a father to Miguel and Robbie and Tori to an extent. And who's the other one? Sam. And Sam, of course, that's Sam. His daughter. No, that's not his daughter. They're the least related, Johnny and Sam. But Daniel's been a father figure to Miguel and Robbie, too, I guess.
He did for Robbie for a little while. He worked for him at the auto dealership, and he did take him under his wing for a bit.
Anyway, Rich, what do you want to?
We're all tied. About? Yeah, all tied. Speaking of which, can we let's go over like where everybody's at? Because I had to write it down, man. I by the end of the show, at least the second time I watched it, I had to giggle a little bit because when we showed up to the tournament, our team was kind of effed up. I don't think there's a single person that went that didn't have some sort of baggage now, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about like the kind you put clothes in, right?
You're not kidding. Yeah.
No. So Miguel is upset because he felt he feels this is his last chance to get in Stanford, right? And he really wanted to be captain. So now that's on his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie doesn't have Tori anymore. And they made the pinky promise they were going to be on the podium together. Sam.
She's on the opposite team. Yeah.
Yeah. She's there on the opposite team, right? She screwed up a couple of people. Oh, she screwed up Sam, too. Because now you can imagine Sam's probably going to have to fight Tori or something's going to happen between them. And they're on opposites again. And that was her thing, trying to find closure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on her mind. Devon. She cheated to be there, so she's probably still messed up about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hawk and Dimitri, they're unresolved. Oh, but I'd say right.
Yeah.
Hawk and Dimitri, I mean, probably though they're the least messed up out of all of them, though.
You'd hope
they
so.
Are there together.
It's a dumb reason to be upset. But you were so right, Rich. You must have watched ahead, didn't you? You said I think Devin's gonna go and I think Hawk's end up being in it, and when that happened I was like, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I did say that and I was like, yes.
It happened. Nice job.
It was
sort of like they just decided that Hawk was gonna take Tori's spot, and I'm like, what about Kenny?
Kenny left.
Not gonna worry about it.
Oh yeah.
That's a good, okay, no one saw him. Even there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they just made a side comment like, oh, I guess he just quit, and he wasn't really talked about again, so he wasn't even there.
And then with Anthony, like, going, oh, what did he say? I haven't seen him since the shitting, and I'm like, yeah, that's, you're an asshole. But then I was thinking, I don't know, I guess we don't really know, but I'm kind of presuming Anthony didn't go with them to Spain, and that he and Kenny... That will show, they'll come back to the valley for their story maybe at some point, you know, maybe while the others are gone or something.
Yeah, I was wondering if they're going to do that. Do you think they're going to do like tournament stuff and then flash back to the cut back over to the valley? Because, I mean, can you imagine shit could really go off the rails in the valley without anyone there? No one's there.
Yeah, but I was trying to think, they're the only two that I'm. That have a story that I'm that interested in. So maybe they won't go back just for that.
Maybe Amanda and I don't know, maybe some others came. We won't know. Right.
Maybe Amanda will have an affair with Louis.
Oh no. Maybe Chosen comes back and Amanda falls in love with him.
Can't resist him in that robe.
Okay. I'm going to go now. Let's see. I had a whole point on choosing captains, but I feel like you already talked that through. So I'm going to go to Daniel versus Johnny, which is kind of a long one. It's my one long one.
Yeah.
But just thinking about how they brought all kinds of conflict, and it feels bad, as I've said before, because at this point I like most of the characters. And so when they're in conflict with each other, it feels anxiety producing to me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's because of personal failures, you know, if they would just sort of get over their own demons, they could get along. And I feel a little let down by them in a way. I mean, they're human, so I like that the story has that, but even like maybe let down by Miyagi, although I can't wait to see what we find out about that. By Daniel for sure, also by Johnny, by Miguel, Robbie a little, but not too much. Actually, maybe not Robbie. I mean, he's worried about being second place, but I totally don't blame him. Like, he wants to prove himself. Tori, I also don't blame, really. I don't know. I can't really blame her. Her mom died, so.
No, that's pretty messed up.
Yeah. But we'd been asking all season, oh, it seems like everything's calm. I wonder if they're going to have conflict between our characters. I kind of hope not. And then, boy, this episode came along and really hit us with it. I think overcoming your own personal demons has been a theme in Karate Kid since the beginning, when Daniel's in the locker room after he got injured and he wants to go out and fight again, and Miyagi tells him you don't need to, and he says, every time I see those guys, I know they're gonna get, they'll know they got the best of me. I'll never have balance that way, not with them, not with Ali, not with me. And there's talk of balance a lot, and I think balance can be with yourself, like he's saying, and there are a lot of times the characters are out of balance. And anyway, I just mention all that because it has to do with Daniel and Johnny, but all the other conflicts that we're going to talk about too. But with Daniel and Johnny, I went back and forth on who I thought was more in the right between the two of them here. On my first watch, yeah. I actually thought Johnny was more in the right. Daniel was bothering me a little more. I had more sympathy with him when he was knocked off balance by Terry Silver, because Terry just expertly got in there and fucked with him and framed him and everything else. Here, he's upset about what he learned about Miyagi, but it just looks like he gets thrown off balance really easily. I mean, I guess it's kind of like finding out your dad was a criminal or something, so maybe I should be more sympathetic. But then watching it a second time, I did feel more critical of Johnny, because he barges in and takes over the first day's lesson, and then he's, you know, if you're really going to try to do, I understand with the good thing about Johnny and Daniel together that does potentially create a great balance is that Johnny's more offense focused and Daniel's more defense and sort of focus, you know, into the meditative and core strengthening and all. And you need all of that stuff to make a good karate system. So if they got their shit together, they could make a good cohesive system, and each one of them could teach to their strengths and go back and forth. Mm-hmm. But instead they undermine each other like two idiots.
And so Johnny,
I mean, he could talk it over with Daniel and they could agree on a lesson plan, but instead he just goes in there with his ball machine that shoots beer balls or beer bottles, you know, and it's funny. And I liked fighting mannequins with different countries' flags and the including the Soviet Union. But Daniel says, you know, oh, he's shoehorning his macho crap in there, and he kind of has a point, but you do need offense, but they should just be working together to figure it out instead of just pushing each other to the side. And Johnny was the first one to kind of push Daniel to the side. So then when Daniel scheduled Johnny to have to do the test drives so he could have a chance, and Johnny's all upset about that, but I'm like, well, you did get your day. Let Daniel have his day. Step off. And then he goes looking for him and happens to find him. I don't know how he knew where he was when he's giving that guy his test drive.
I don't think that was on purpose.
Where was he going then? Why was he having that guy race so fast? Just because that's how he is?
I think that's just Johnny.
Oh, I thought he was like trying to get to Daniel. Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. It was just a coincidence. I think you're probably right.
Because he looked kind of surprised to see his car off to the side there.
Yeah. So he gets all upset with Daniel. And I think he thought Daniel was pulling one over on him because he had Miguel and Sam there, but not Tori and Robbie. But he didn't know that Tori and Robbie had planned to go off on their own anyway. But anyway, when Daniel's talking to Amanda about it, it was interesting. She said, isn't that where we're heading, Johnny taking over once you step aside? And I was like, oh, I didn't know that was the plan. But that's interesting that Daniel had planned that. But now he doesn't want to because Johnny's not fully embracing Miyagi-Do. And he says Mr. Miyagi would not be happy with this version of Johnny as the face of his family's karate. And she goes, maybe you're right, but how do you know? I mean, after what we learned about Mr. Miyagi, anything's possible. He says, Amanda, I don't care what's in that box. I know who Miyagi was, and this is not what he would have wanted. And I think he's right, because in Karate Kid, whenever Daniel wanted to learn offense, Miyagi would just be like, be patient. You know, he'd make fun of him or say, you need balance, and he'd shake him and he'd fall in the water or whatever. So, you know, then when they did start punching. Daniel's like, what do you think of this? He acted more like Donnie X now. Hey. And Miyagi threw him down to the ground. I think you dance around too much. I think you talk too much. I think you know, concentrate enough. So he was always more focused on personal power and focus and concentration than he was about punching like Johnny is. So I think Daniel does know that Johnny wouldn't be doing that. But anyway, so Johnny gets all mad about what he sees Daniel doing and teaching just Sam and Miguel, goes to the auto dealership, tells him he's starting his own dealership, tries to steal all his employees. That pretty much tips it over into Johnny's the bad guy here for me after Daniel gave him a job.
He was off the rails.
Yeah, but it was funny.
It was funny as hell. And then Amanda stands up for Johnny and tells Daniel, hey, you guys are supposed to be partners. And so then they apologize to each other, which was nice. But then Johnny got pissed that Daniel stopped the fight. And right there they disagreed. And they should have, as soon as they saw that they were disagreeing about whether they should continue that fight, then they should have said, we're going to take a break and talk it over. Just wait.
But yeah.
Of course not, right?
No, that's what I thought. I was like, this is a dumb way to handle this.
But it's soap opera. Yeah. So they fight, they argue, and then he calls Mr. Miyagi a thief and a liar, and Daniel punches him in the face. Right after he'd said, we don't teach these kids to fight with anger, then he punches him in the face.
Yeah. Yep.
So then when Johnny said, I'll go to this tournament, but after that we're through, and that's how they're entering it with, I mean, you talked about baggage, but I don't even remember if you mentioned them, but they have that baggage, Johnny and Daniel, at the tournament.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, no, I think I forgot to mention that. That's like the biggest one.
Yeah.
It is the biggest one. But they've come so far. At first, I wasn't sure how I was feeling about it because I'm like, oh, here we go with another round of Johnny and Daniel tension and, you know, where they're not getting along. And then they'll somewhere, I'm sure, in the next five episodes, will come back together and be on the same page again or something. But I was like, well, this time it feels a little different.
Mm-hmm.
This season, how far they've come and how both of them have evolved. But I think that it did show, you know, the like differences. We know Daniel's in a bit of a different headspace with everything he's got going on, learning about Miyagi. But then you can see the maturity from Johnny, because Johnny, what would he normally do? He'd probably just punch him right back, and then we'd be right in the middle of a fight, you know, like we would get sometimes. But instead, you know, he turns the other cheek, and instead of also just like quitting, like I'm out of here, like Tori did, he's like, they're still working together. He's like, you know what, we'll finish this, and then I'm done. So I think it really shows how far the characters have come. So I think that's. It's really great.
They have.
And as you're talking about it, it makes me also think it's different. Maybe I'm reaching here, but in that before they were never friends when they fought, but now they've come to this place of respect, of partnership, of even admiration, especially I think maybe Johnny admires Daniel, but Daniel's...
I don't think he'd admit it, but I think he does.
Yeah. And it's like, they're almost like brothers in a way. So that's one reason why this also felt different when Daniel punched Johnny. I think it really hurt him in a way that it never has before, you know?
I think it did. Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
I wasn't surprised though. Were you guys surprised that they're having another beef?
I guess not.
No, but I was just like, oh, come on. You know, I like the, like, I don't expect them to be like perfect best friends. I think there's always going to be a little bit of that tension between Johnny and Daniel. Yeah. They are two different people.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to have some, I think, disagreements. So I do like it that way, but I was just like, oh, come on. But I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm sure this will work out and it'll be fine.
Yeah, that's why I said that, because I like building on what you guys are saying, I think Johnny and, like you just said, Rima, Daniel are fundamentally different people. I don't think they would even be friends if they didn't have karate as a common ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're like brothers, though, in that way.
They're fundamentally different in every way. Personality, they're different in the way they teach karate. They're different in the way they live their lives.
They could in an ideal world, they could figure out how to complement each other, like I was saying before, offense and defense, you know, and because I was thinking, okay, Eagle Fang and Miyagi-Do qualified for the Sakai Taikai. And maybe it would have been better for them to just stay two dojos, get 12 kids in instead of just six, right? Not be all up in each other's business. Maybe that would have been the best way to go. But ideally, it is better for them to be together because they can teach a fuller, you need offense, you know?
Yeah.
They can teach a fuller karate. So I don't know. And it's more fun to see how it works out when they're together, of course.
Well, and I mean, it really feels like they're, I don't know, I feel like there's been so much foreshadowing in this, just these five episodes, where it feels like they're gearing it up for Johnny to take over Miyagi-Do.
I think he's going to be Cobra Kai.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Cobra Kai, no.
Yeah, I think he's going to rehabilitate Cobra Kai's reputation.
I mean, maybe. I guess anything is possible, but it just feels like, because I keep thinking, like, we get this revelation about Miyagi, and I don't know what, if anything else. I mean, we got a little bit in this episode with the headband, and like, oh crap, did Miyagi fight too, and what the heck happened, and what does this mean? But like with like learning about his past, and again, we still don't really know what the circumstances or context about what happened. You know, we just have an article saying that Miyagi was a thief and he did flee the country, but we don't know what it was all about. But it's like, it kind of shows Miyagi as not this picture perfect person that Daniel has made him out to be and putting him on this high pedestal, and like he could never do anything wrong. I mean, it's like Miyagi wasn't always this wise old man, you know. He was young, he was flawed, he wasn't perfect, he made mistakes, and that leans for me more towards Johnny. Like Johnny isn't perfect and he's made mistakes,
it's
and
he's
growing
though,
as a person.
It's all of them.
I don't know. I mean they are all growing and evolving, but I just feel like they're showing like Johnny a little closer to Miyagi than what Daniel is to Miyagi, in my opinion, and how he's grown and changed and how he could continue to grow and change in the next 10 episodes to finish out the series, that he might be like more fitting of like the face and, you know, head of Miyagi-Do than what Daniel would. And they've said like, well, Daniel's planning to step away after the tournament, you know, it's going to be his swan song, I think Amanda said. And I don't know. It's a feeling. Be completely wrong, so we'll see.
I just had a daydream of what the ending could be if it was Robbie wins the final fight, you know, they're overseas, everybody starts chanting Robbie, Robbie, and he says, if I can change and you can change, everybody can change.
This is Rocky IV. Damn good movie, by the way.
That would be good.
Now I want to go watch Rocky IV.
I feel like, I think you're right. They're definitely, this whole series has given all the characters flaws, and Miyagi was maybe the only one left that still seem like flawless, so they're bringing him to everybody's level. But yeah, Johnny's the one that's really the most flawed, I guess. Is that what you're saying, kind of?
Yeah, and that like it would be like this full circle moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think for Johnny and his story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that there is blood on the bandana, Mr. Miyagi's bandana. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, stakes are getting serious.
I mean, here's the thing. Daniel finds this headband and he says, Mr. Miyagi fought in the Sakai Taikai. And I find that hard to believe. I think that's probably what happened. But the reason why I have my doubts is because all through the Karate Kid movies, he wasn't into the tournaments. He didn't care about the belts, you know. Oh, what kind of belt you got? He's all JC Benny 398. And when they get to the tournament at the end of the first movie, Daniel says, okay, what are the rules here? Which he should have been asking that for the whole 3 months. Come on. But anyway, Miyagi says, I don't know. First time. Or he goes, first time you, first time me. And Daniel's, I figured you knew about this stuff. I figured you went to these before. Great. I'm dead. You told me you fought a lot. And he goes, for life, not for points. And then, so then in Karate Kid 3, the whole thing was that Miyagi didn't want to sign the permission slip for Daniel to do the tournament again. And Daniel said, why? What's the problem? And he said, if karate used to defend honor, defend a life, karate means something. If karate used to defend plastic metal trophy, karate no mean nothing. And so maybe you could say, okay, well, he thinks that now, but he had to learn that lesson himself.
Yeah.
But then why would he say, first time you, first time me, when they were at the tournament? Either he was a liar or the writers are just going to overlook that, you know?
Well, maybe he was talking specifically about the All Valley.
Well, I mean, that's why it made sense to me that he would think that way, because maybe if he did fight and he was captain, not just fight, but captain, because that's the captain's headband. Right. And like you said, Rich, blood was on there. And Barnes said, when he was talking to the kids, people have died. And I was like, dang, it's like freaking blood sport almost or something, you know? But when he's like, people have died and you see blood in this headband and it's in Miyagi's chest, was it his? I don't know. I don't know where they're leading us, but I think it would make sense as to why Miyagi did hate tournaments so much.
Mm-hmm. It feels like at this point, if he wasn't in it, it will be a kind of a disappointment that, oh, why did you make us think it? And then say, oh, no, actually, he wasn't, you know?
Yeah, kind of silly. But it could be a completely different context. I mean, I don't know what's behind it, but it would make sense to me that he would.
Yeah, maybe when he was in it, it was for life. Maybe that's how they'll go about it. There's no points. Yeah. You're fighting for your life. It was like blood sport back then or something like that, you know?
Who knows?
Yeah,
I'm hoping for a flashback. Yeah. They get there and they find an old man that was an opponent or something or fought with Miyagi, and he starts telling a story and we get a little flashback.
What if it was, is it Mr. Kim? The old Korean guy?
Oh, yeah.
Old head of Cobra Kai? Wouldn't that be interesting if it was him and Miyagi fought in the Sekai Taikai or something?
I mean, cool. It feels, but when Silver came to Miyagi's place, he mentioned Kim. I don't know. Kim? Seems weird that, because that was his teacher. Silver's teacher. So it seems like Miyagi would have been like, who did you say? You get out of here now. Don't say that name at my house. All right. Who's next? Rima, I think. Yeah.
Is it me? Okay. Another short point, because I've got longer stuff, I think, coming in a few other small things. But got to see more Kreese, which we've talked about. I find it interesting that we had that episode where he went through this whole trial and fight with the Cobra in the Magic Cave, that he then learns to like shed Johnny as his weakness. But then he goes and recruits Tori, who also seems to be his weakness.
Mm.
And I don't know if he definitely favored Tori, and it feels like she's his new favorite almost. And maybe that's not the path that they're going down, but I just find it interesting. Like, he goes through all of that, but yet he goes to all this trouble, to get Tori and try to recruit her, plants these little seeds of doubt in her head. And it's like, well, dude, you went to all this trouble, so you didn't have a weakness any longer, but now you've got Tori and she seems to be his weakness. I don't know if that's, and I feel like this could be either, if they're going for some type of redemption for Kreese, I don't know if that's what they are going to do or not, or if it's even possible, honestly, in my opinion, for Kreese, or it could be his downfall.
Yeah. I think they will at some point, but I think I see your point. But he needs a champion. Maybe he needed a good. Yeah, but yeah, I see your point.
I didn't think of that.
But it's like, well, then that makes me ask: what does it mean to be his weakness? He said I show no mercy except with you. What else did he say? I forget when he was in the cave talking to his vision of Johnny and saying why he was his weakness. But maybe he thinks he can have a different relationship with Tori. That's all I can think of, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. It was just like, well, you went to all this trouble, you know, and now you're now going to all this trouble. Because now here he's bouncing around the globe again, you know, got a suspension of disbelief, you know, that Crease's broke ass can just jet across the States to Korea, then back to the States, and now to Spain.
That's
and-
right.
Well, there's an interview with the Cobra Kai showrunners. I know, he couldn't do anything. That's a good point. But anyway, in Entertainment Weekly, they asked, I know this is a TV show and some suspension of disbelief is required, but still I must ask a plausibility question. What is your working internal explanation for how Crease, an escaped prisoner, made it from California to Korea and back again without being nabbed by the FBI or at the very least the TSA? Hayden Schlossberg, one of the three showrunners, said, we don't want to tell everyone all the secrets because that may play into things later, but this is a character who has the ties to the military. Let's just put it that way. That secret black ops military that we saw in Vietnam, he was doing things off the grid. It's been established that this guy has interesting connections in the military world. Now, whether he used those or whether there's something with Master Kim and Kim Dae-un and their resources, I think it's probably the combination of some interesting players along with the fact that he escaped jail. But if you look at the number of people who escape jail and how many people get away with it and his particular situation, there may not be a nationwide hunt for him. There may also be boats involved. I'll just say he has a special set of skills. It'll be addressed at some point in the season as to what's going on. So
wow,
that's a lot of words, but
that's a pretty thorough explanation for his like 30-second cameo, huh?
I was like, for not giving an explanation, it was a pretty thorough explanation to basically say he's probably got some connections in the black ops.
I mean, I wonder how Tori contacted him when she decided she wanted to be with Cobra Kai.
Yeah, everything happened so fast in that last 5 minutes, man. It was just like,
but I was totally waiting for her to pop up. As soon as Cobra Kai walked in and there were just a few of them, I was like, totally. Oh shit, Tori is going to be there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wonder why they had only four and then like Miyagi-Do had six.
Right.
Why did Cobra Kai only have four? I didn't understand that.
Wait, four including Tori?
Yeah, I think it was just
four. Yeah, it was just Cobra Kai just had four.
She had the three guys walk in with the bad boy hair and then there was a gap and Tori stepped in. What was that?
Yeah.
With a huge gasp. No! Turncoat!
Anything else about that one?
What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
No, super short, to the point, and that was it for me for that one.
Richard?
Yeah, speaking of that entrance, I had a little point down here about the music when they were walking in. When Cobra Kai walked in, that ominous music with the beat behind it. I was like, yeah, I didn't notice it the first time I watched it. But the second time, I was like, hey, this is kick-ass. I mean, I liked it. I mean, I like really liked it. I want to find that song and download it. It was cool.
It was. Then, I agree.
And then it changed. Like when they had that gap and Tori was walking in, of course, slow-mo, it started to change. And then you had that, I don't know, like you got this full on Darth Vader, death angel voices, musical coming on, you know, and you're just like, whoa, no, that was cool.
Yeah, it was.
And when I saw Tori too, I wasn't really surprised, but I was like really disappointed. I was like, oh, she went down the wrong path again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and that's what I thought Kreese was doing. I don't know if Tori's so much his weakness. But yeah, I'm certainly sure she will be now. But I thought he was just up to his old tricks where he's trying to screw up the Miyagi-Do.
Johnny.
You know?
Yeah.
Screw him up. Just true. Mess with him, you know, get in their heads, take away one of their best players.
Take one of the best fighters. Yeah.
That's what he does.
That's
He's a dirty fighter.
Yeah. It's a good point.
He's a butthole.
He's a. What's up, his brown hole?
Poor Tori. I guess she didn't really fully embrace Miyagi-Do, huh? Because she just turncoat quick. Now she wants to kill somebody.
She punched Sam and then turned around and kicked her in the stomach right after she got the point. That's classic Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I understand losing your center when someone close to you passes away, but damn.
I know. She goes into a rage.
Took it to the nth degree.
All right, my turn?
Yeah.
I know Tori's your favorite, so I'll leave that one for you, Rima. I'm going to go into Miguel and Robbie.
Okay.
So Miguel's deferred from Stanford. He had tried early admission, got deferred. He might be able to go in the spring. He's upset. He finds out they only accept 15% of the people they defer, but Samantha says if you win the tournament, you'll be the best karate person in the world and make it more likely they'll want to take you into Stanford. And then he goes to Robbie and he says, look, Robbie, I just wanted to say, no matter what happens on the mat, I don't have any beef with you. Okay. Yeah. I just really need this for Stanford. I'm like, those two don't go together. Cause it's like, what is that supposed to mean? No matter what happens, we'll be fine unless you don't let me win because I really need this is what it sounded like, you know?
Yeah. And Robbie called him out on that too.
Yeah.
What are you saying? I don't need it.
Yeah. And it's just like, I understand he needs it, but it's being selfish thinking he's owed it, you know?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And also there's a lot of other schools. Oh, I didn't get into one of the best schools in the world. Boo hoo. almost no one gets into those schools. So, I mean, I'm just, I guess, taking a side. Of course you could have some sympathy and understand especially as a kid that you wouldn't have the wherewithal to be mature about it, but I think he's being really immature about it. He's one of my favorite characters, but when he goes, he's interesting because he can really, most of the time he's got such a nice, pleasant vibe, good-hearted guy. But whenever he decides to be angry, it's like he's a whole different person. It's like, oh, you're dark. So then, yeah, we talked about Robbie fixated on always having gotten second place. And I was more with him on that. I'm like, yeah, I want to win. I want you to win. So then the day of the fight, I really liked that Johnny told both of them, just give it your all, whether you win or lose. I believe in you, because they're both his sons now. Miguel's basically a stepson. And when they fought, we already talked about it. So good. Such a great fight. Robbie wins. I like that the first thing he did was check to make sure there were no hard feelings. And Miguel said no. Do you believe him? Probably not, right?
I don't know. I think it's possible for him not to have hard feelings towards Robbie, but I'm sure he's going to have some hard feelings.
About,
you know, not getting into Stanford now.
I mean, I'm just like, maybe being on the, if they win, you know, being on the world winning karate team could still help, even if he's not at the top of the ticket.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you get endorsements like the Olympic players, you don't need to go to college.
Yeah.
Or he could be on a Wheaties box and get in his easy top video. Sky's the limit. That's all I had.
Well, you were right. Definitely have a point about Tori. So thanks for letting me take that. But feel free to jump in, you know, with your thoughts. Along with all of the amazing action and the great fighting scenes and the tension and drama, we got some great emotion. Because one thing that this show does really, really well is like emotion and heart, which is so shocking. I'm still surprised after all this time when I first started watching the show and I did not take it seriously at all. They really nail down the heart, you know, part of it and really know how to get you in the feels. And I've always felt a little bit of a connection with Tori being like the underdog and like her background story and things I could really relate to. So I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for Tori. Didn't always love everything that she did and no excuses for anything that she did, but I can kind of understand. And one of the things that really got me in this episode, you know, was when she's at the hospital, you know, she's lost her mom. And I mean, all of that was so sad and heartbreaking. I was like, my gosh, she's only in high school. Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine she's on her own. It's only her and her little brother. I can't even remember how old he is at this point, but I know he's a lot younger than her and their mom. And it's like, they didn't have any other family. And I'm like, she's by herself dealing with this. And it made me so sad for her when they asked her at the hospital if there was anyone that they could call for her. And she said no. Mm-hmm. And no then one. When she, yeah. And I was like, what? I'm like, come on. And then when you see her at the dojo and when she yells, you know, that her mother died. And when you look at everyone's reactions, you know, Amanda was, I wish Amanda had just hugged her. I'm like, well, just go hug her, hug that girl. Like she needs it so bad. But, you know, Amanda's always kind of, except for when she was like slashing Sam, you know, she's always kind of had her back and tried to be there for her. But you look at the reactions of everyone, Robbie and Sam, even Devin, and then Johnny and Daniel, everyone was like, whoa. And like, just, you could see like that compassion just like radiating off of them. And I'm like, man, I hate that. Like, she could have called any one of them and they would have been there for her in a heartbeat and try to help comfort her, help her deal with all the things that come when someone close to you passes and having to deal with things like that, and just be there for her and help her. And it was so sad to me that she felt she couldn't call any of them, and knowing that any of them would have been there for her. And she was so upset over, and of course, Kreese was there dropping nuggets in her head and messing with her, that didn't help things. But then, of course, she's so upset by the loss of her mom, and she felt it was so unexpected, you know, her thinking that none of them were going to understand. And even though, you know, they would understand, Daniel lost Miyagi. I think she lost her mom too. I thought we'd learn somewhere along the way. Robbie's had it hard. I mean, he's had both of his parents, but it's been kind of sketchy
both
for him.
Both absent, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, they've all kind of been there in
Daniel
in some
lost
way.
His father.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was really young too.
He was 8. Yeah, Miguel lost his father.
Deadbeat dad in Mexico.
Kenny's dad's in jail, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like they've all had some sort of loss, and it was really sad to think that she was so upset that she wouldn't be able to reach out to them. But I think it was not shocking. I did call. That was the other thing I kind of predicted. I was like, she's going to call Kreese. She's going to, you know, rejoin Cobra Kai. So it wasn't shocking. I thought it was still a badass moment. I was like, oh shit, she is there and it's happening.
It's a good
like
story.
For real.
And it was a good way to get everybody, all the top players, Hawk and Tori and everybody else all at the tournament.
Yeah.
I think, and I don't know, just again, made me feel really bad for her because it feels like Tori doesn't think that people would actually care about her and forgive her for any mistakes that she's made. It's almost like she just doesn't think herself worthy of that. She can't contemplate that people would actually care for her. And she's so upset by what happened. She just got this like tunnel vision. And all she can think of is that drive to like make her mom proud. You know, she has those flashbacks of, you know, when she was little and with her mom and stuff. And then of course she's got her brother to think of. If she can, you know, win the Sekai Taikai, it would give security for her and her brother. I mean, they're alone now. So it's, you know, you can just see how she's channeling her grief in a very unhealthy way. And I'm glad that they stopped the fight. You know, I really thought they were going to.
You think that was the right decision to stop it?
I mean, I saw it both ways. I think Johnny had a point that she was, I think, working through it. But I don't think her and Sam should have been fighting for her to work through it. I think it should have been channeled a different way, not for the captainship.
Yeah, I was kind of on the fence, but I thought, especially after she kicked Sam in the stomach after the point was over and just how out of control she seemed.
Yeah.
That it's not responsible to let kids fight in that state.
Loose cannon. Yeah. Maybe they should let her fight Johnny or some one of the adults. Yeah.
Or just do some kind of test or something. Yeah.
They had some practice dummies. Let her train on the practice dummy or I don't know. I think that it would have helped her, you know, I don't know if she would have resolved it completely, but I think working through it in that way, there is, I think, a healthy way to kind of channel that. That's what she knows. And so maybe that is the method for her, but I don't think it should have been her and Sam fighting at all. So I think they should have stopped the fight because I really do think she was going to really seriously hurt Sam. And I think that maybe in the moment she didn't care, like she's so angry and just seeing red over what she's just been through. But I think she would have been sorry for it later and been full of regret. And so I'm glad that they did stop it and it didn't get to that point. So she didn't have anything, you know, to have to be regretful for like she did, like when her and Sam were apologizing to each other, like, I'm sorry about what I did. And, you know, I hurt your arm and, you know, things like that.
And on top of that, a little bit of an impulse control issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all have
for that. Sure. I mean, for sure.
Daniel just punched Johnny in the face in this episode. But
we don't fight angry.
Don't fight angry, pump.
Except me.
But that backstory or flashback where it shows her drawing the three mermaids or whatever, two like a princess and a queen and a prince and she said the prince would protect them from any threats or something. And the mom said, well, why can't the princess fight for herself? Why does she need a prince? Well, she doesn't know how. Well, maybe she can learn. And then she said, life has dealt us a bad hand, but we're fighters. And that's, I feel like we all have our stories about ourselves. And sometimes it's hard to see past the stories that we have about ourselves. And Tori's story is she's abandoned, but she's a fighter. And she was, I think when her mom said life has dealt us a bad hand, it probably had to do with missing father among other things. So I think that's Tori's story. No one cares about me except my mom, but I'm a fucking fighter. And that's why she learned karate. You know, I think that's the root of it. We saw that while we saw that flashback and everything you were saying, Rima, about how she can't see that people would want to stand by her is because she has that story. I'm abandoned. I have to fight for myself. No one's going to fight for me. And then when Kreese came along and whispered in her ear, that fed right into that story that she has about herself. And then when it seemed like they were against her, not letting her fight, but really they were trying to help her. But for her, she'll read things as people being against me and me being abandoned by the people I thought I could count on, even if that's not actually the case, because that's the story that she has about herself. So I just think that's what was going on with all of this. And it's tragic. And I hope that she'll change her story about herself by the time this whole thing is over.
Yeah. I hope so.
And poor Robbie too, right? Now he's going to stare at her from across the mat.
And Robbie, like, I was like, did he let her down? I was trying to watch the second time because he kept trying to call her and she wouldn't answer because she just wasn't in the state to talk.
He texted he was calling.
Yeah. And then she showed up and he felt more empowered when she got there. And then when they were trying to stop the fight, he came up and said something like, just take a breath, you know, but he was seemed real concerned. Just take a breath or something like that. And maybe she saw that as a betrayal. I'm not sure. But I don't think he had a chance really to be there for her. You know, I don't know if he tried to call her after that or what.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she was going to let anyone be there for her.
That's what I was thinking from his perspective. She kind of just dropped off and he never could get a hold of her. And then boom, there she is on the other side of the mat a week or so later or whatever, however much time went by.
Robbie should be like, yo, what the fuck?
I think they feel different about their relationship. I think he's into it a little more than she was, I guess.
Yeah, because she made a promise. No matter what happens, we're going to be together.
You and me.
Well, they are in the same room.
Yeah,
maybe that will be the last two standing.
Both on the podium for different reasons, different teams.
Okay, I had some funny lines. Daniel says the team captains will fight in the final, and I already kind of said this, but Johnny goes, plus they get to fight on live TV. Who knows what comes after that? Wheaties boxes, chop socky flicks. ZZ Top videos, sky's the limit. ZZ Top is, they're probably dead, right? I don't even know.
No.
They're not? Yeah, no. Sorry. Sorry, ZZ Top. Did they cut their beards off? I think they did, didn't they?
I don't think so. I don't know if they're as long, but I think one of them did. The beards.
Yeah. Johnny came up with his own kata. Big circle, breathe in, breathe out, elbow to the face, punch to the throat. And then I love the whole training montage with the beer bottles and foreign kids don't speak English, but they do speak karate. So you're going to have to kick higher and harder than ever before. And Daniel says, Johnny, the Soviet Union doesn't even exist anymore. Quiet!
He had a couple of those in here.
He did. Quiet. We haven't really got a lot of that. It made Daniel shut up and stand to attention for a minute. Yeah.
Johnny's getting nervous. More quiet. So.
Then Johnny, he's racing down the road, taking this guy for a test drive. And the guy says, I assume it's got Bluetooth. It's got all the teeth you'll ever need. When you're driving down Ventura Boulevard, all the babes are going to drop their son of a bitch. Because he sees Daniel.
Drop their what?
That's how he sells it. And then I only had one more when he tries to steal all of Daniel's employees and start his own auto dealership. And Amanda pulls him aside and asks him what's going on. He says, well, your damn husband has a bug up his brown hole for one thing.
Yeah. I like his response too, where Daniel's going through something, Amanda says, and he's like, oh, you're finally leaving him, huh?
Yeah, I know.
Well, and my favorite after that, because I have this in my notes too, and he's like, oh, finally leaving him, huh? And he's like, he's going to shit when he finds out you're working for me and Louie.
I didn't even hear that.
So hard. Because it wasn't just the line, it was his delivery. I mean, William Zabka, I swear, he's just really honed his comedy part of this. It's so good.
Yeah, they should have him in the Karate Kid movie with... with Jackie Chan and Johnny Lawrence.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I mean, he was a success. Johnny, you know, all the employees left. Daniel comes back. All his employees and his wife have left him, and he has no auto dealership. That would have been a really shitty thing to do to someone. Oh, ruin their life.
When Johnny jumped up on the desk and started yelling, you know, hey, you could hear someone in the background go, who is that guy?
And then I loved when he was giving his speech. I'm starting my own auto dealership. And he steps on the keyboard. That was a nice touch.
Johnny's a lot bigger in his own head. Huh?
All right. Any more points or should we go to notes?
Oh, I had one. Johnny's face after Robbie won. You notice they cut to his face right after Robbie won the fight. And he was just kind of like, almost like a relief kind of thing. I don't know. Did I read that wrong? You know, we all have our favorites. Do you think maybe he was rooting for Robbie a little more than Miguel?
I wondered if he wouldn't have made that face either way. You know, he would have been happy with whoever won and sad for the other guy, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I felt kind of really bad for Johnny during that fight, because it's like he doesn't want to try to show favoritism. Like, he's really trying to be there for both of them equally.
Yeah.
And like, he would like, I think it was when Robbie scored his first point. He's like, way to go, Robbie. Sorry, Miguel. You know, it's like,
And he encouraged them both equally. Then he congratulated Robbie and then, you know, helped try to comfort Miguel.
Yeah. That's a tough spot to be in. Could have been
flip-flopped, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Any other notes? Or you got notes, Rich?
No, my last one was about Miyagi, but we pretty much covered that and how he was going to be in the Saikai Taikai. I hope that his story doesn't ruin anything for anybody. I just hope it kind of adds.
Yeah.
Adds. I don't want any takeaways. I want adds.
Yeah, because if they're going to mess with his story, it better be good.
Yeah, that's right. Better do him right.
Yeah, I was surprised when they kind of opened up that Pandora's box a little, like some kind of secret history that we didn't hear anything else about. I mean, other than like that weird name drop thing from like Karate Kid 3 to that episode, kind of tying those two together kind of in a loose way.
But Miyagi.
I'm like, oh, you're like messing with Miyagi canon. I don't know. Are you allowed to do that? Like,
it sounds like, because they've said we have several spinoffs in mind, and it sounds like the one they want to do the most is Miyagi's backstory, in which case, well, yeah, they're going to have to tell a lot more Miyagi story. So I guess it's okay.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it just feels like, I don't know. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they've done so well so far, so I'm like pretty open to it. But yeah, I hope they don't mess it up.
Yeah.
I had a note about best of the best, which we already talked about, but I didn't mention that Johnny said about Eric Roberts' character, Alex Grady is the character he's playing, lost his shoulder in the first movie. In the second movie, it's miraculously healed. If you believe in yourselves, you could be like Eric Roberts too.
You can miraculously heal, huh?
We didn't get the song either. We mentioned that last week.
But it doesn't make sense for that song to be in this episode. So I'm still hoping for it.
Yeah.
At some point. And because it's that tagline, the best of the best, it's still in our heads.
Maybe they're saving it.
Yeah, I hope so. So at the end, they go to Barcelona, which is super cool. We see a bunch of other international teams heading into the arena with all their colored jerseys. Looks like older guys to me. It didn't look like teenagers, unless I was like, are those the coaches?
None of them look like teenagers. They all look way older than like these Miyagi-Do kids.
Dimitri's gonna fight that dude.
Dimitri was looking pretty old, I thought.
Yeah, they've all like had 2 years of growing. I got a MIT. Miyagi-Do uniforms have a USA patch on the shoulder, I noticed, and Hawk's mohawk has a blue base and red and white stripes going up. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cobra Kai, I always love the uniforms that Cobra Kai had in the original tournaments, you know, and this Cobra Kai team didn't. They had black gis, but that makes sense because they're Koreans and that's kind of American stylized, I guess. When seeing Kreese there, you'd think Johnny and Daniel would be like, oh, that guy's an escaped convict over there, right there, wanted there in the U.S.
Say, no extradition in Spain? Question mark? No.
Extradition? Police, yeah.
And then, we've talked about all my other notes. I just had one question is, do you think that by the end of this, Daniel and Johnny will fight again? And if they do, will there be a definitive winner?
No
more physical fights.
If they do, it's gonna screw up everything
because they've always tied, I feel like.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll be back to being totally okay with each other, or will the series end with them have like begrudging relationship or something like that?
I'm gonna defer to what you said at the beginning of the podcast. It's gonna have a happy ending.
Yeah, I hope so,
which means I think they're gonna be friends, right?
They might be leading the Miyagi Fang or something.
I think it's going to be like when they were at the baby shower, you know, they'll be, you know, fun and friendly. And I don't know that they have to be best friends and ever always see eye to eye all the time because they are very different and that's okay. They don't have to. It's you don't have to, but you can still like to be around that person. And so I think they'll get back on the same page. And I think, you know, Daniel come to terms with whatever it is, you know, that's going on with Miyagi, and think Johnny will continue to grow. And so I think they're going to be in a good place. I've got faith that they're going to come full circle from Karate Kid.
It's possible.
That'd be great.
I was just listening to a podcast about Mythbusters. Remember those guys? Adam Savage and Jamie Heineman. They were not friends at all off camera. They didn't like each other at all. But they were able they were able to work together and create a successful show that went on for 14 years.
Wow.
I would have never known. They seemed to have like great, and I thought anyway, when watching it, great chemistry. Yeah. And
it's almost the same exact thing. They were just fundamentally different people. They just didn't see eye to eye on most anything except making stuff and blowing it up.
Wow.
It's blowing things up that brings people together.
Yeah.
Okay, we do have some news because I haven't had to worry about spoilers. So first off, many Cobra Kai fans are not happy at all that this final season is being doled out in three parts instead of released all at once like they're used to. There was a Q&A with one of the showrunners and someone asked, why don't you drop the rest of season three right now, you idiot? Which is not respectful. And it was John Hurwitz who replied, hey, fuck you, buddy. No, I'm just kidding. He said, because the rest of the episodes aren't finished yet, unfortunately. I'm reading this mostly because I know some of our listeners also weren't happy with that. So you might like to know this.
I've seen that.
He said, the rest of the episodes aren't finished yet, unfortunately. Yes, we finished filming a couple months ago, but a lot more work needs to be done before an episode's ready for your eyes. Editing, coloring, visual effects, sound design, ADR, recording the score with an orchestra, sound mixing, etc. And that's all before the show gets dubbed and subtitled in dozens of languages for audiences all around the world. We know that for some of you, it's been frustrating to only have five episodes to watch so far. It's frustrating for us too, because we know the adventure ahead and we're dying for you to experience it. At the end of the day, we, including our partners, had a choice when it came to the release. One, wait until 2025 for audiences to get more Cobra Kai, or two, get these episodes out to audiences much sooner in batches as soon as they were ready. And he says, all I can promise is that the final 10 episodes are unlike any you've seen before, while still being badass and funny and nostalgic and karate filled. I know you're going to love it. So
right on.
Not done yet. I didn't know that.
It doesn't bother me too much. We can only watch one at a time anyways.
I love it because it keeps the conversation going, you know.
Yeah.
Usually we feel at this point like, everybody's watched it. They're probably not even listening to us anymore because they've forgotten about it.
You know? That's pretty much my life, because that's like we cover a lot of Netflix shows. So by the time we finally get to the very last episode, everybody's already binged it that first week, or maybe even two if they take that long, and moved on. Right. And I'm like, does anyone even care anymore when we get to that last episode?
6 months later. Yeah. And in the finale.
Yeah. But you should, if you're listening to us right now and you haven't checked out Strange Indeed, you should go check it out. Rima's covered like probably dozens of Netflix shows at this point, and they're really good, especially the Mike Flanagan ones like Haunting of Hill House and all those, but a bunch of other ones, Stranger Things, of course.
Yeah. Sorry. I wasn't looking for a plug or anything.
No,
I can so relate, because Paik and I joke about it all the time. Like, is anybody even still there listening to us anymore? Like, everyone's already moved on and watched those 8 or 10 episodes.
I don't like it.
Many.
I don't like it. All right. We're doing Squid Game coming up here. It's going to be the same thing. That comes out in December, part two or season two. So next on Netflix.com, Josh Heald, the other showrunner, one of the other showrunners, talked about the next five episodes. He said, the first five are our most traditionally Cobra Kai-esque episodes of the final season, because it ramps up and up, it gets better and better, and we get into the second part. The middle five, you get to see martial arts at a level higher than you've ever seen before. You get to meet new, exciting characters and take all of our combustible characters, and you get to see karate outside of the valley. How are they going to handle the pressure? How are they going to handle being in the most intense karate fight of their lives while it's not harmonious between them? Hawk and Dimitri are at odds. Robbie and Miguel are not at their best. Tori and Sam are not at their best. And Johnny and Daniel certainly are not as well. Mix in Sensei Kreese, and the middle five has some of the most combustible episodes we've had. Just kind of what we were just talking
about. Cannot wait. I know he's on Cobra Kai, but I'm excited to see Quan fight. That dude is good.
Yeah. There's a little bit about him. I'm Heald, Schlossberg, and Hurwitz, all three interviewed with entertainmentweekly.com. They asked, part one ends with Johnny and Daniel at a real breaking point in their relationship, only to discover that they'll be going up against Kreese at the Sakai Taikai. Where do they go from here? He said, they're at their lowest in terms of their ability to relate to one another and potentially to coach effectively. We found Kreese at another power ranking high point as he has lured Tori away from Miyagi-Do to join his team. He's obviously instilled discipline in Quan and has a formidable captain. The team itself is just firing on all cylinders and comes with all the riz that you could expect from a Cobra Kai unit with the embroidered jackets. When you look at the Miyagi-Do side, you see a team that's had their confidence shaken. You see players who've done some untoward things to get on that team. You have two senseis who've decided to stay together for the kids, but break up for good once they get through this, like they're married, this period. You have Miguel and Robbie not on the same... Well, I've already... This is all repetitive, sorry. Actually, I'll read this stuff about Miyagi. While I'm guessing we don't know the full story yet, it's a risk to tinker with Mr. Miyagi's backstory, especially suggesting that he was the culprit of a robbery and assault. Why did you guys decide that was a risk worth taking? Josh Heald says, well, it was time for us to dig deeper into Mr. Miyagi. We're fascinated by the past that we know about, that Mr. Miyagi tells Daniel and the Karate Kid in The Karate Kid, and the additional past that we experience in Karate Kid 2. We've had such reverence for Miyagi in the series, kind of holding him at arm's length, but also exalting him to almost a saintly presence over the show and over Daniel's experience. We decided that we wanted to dig more into his past, and one of the ways of doing that was to start looking at Mr. Miyagi as a man and not just a figure. We wanted to explore the idea, particularly for Daniel, of discovering something new about a parent or mentor that might challenge your opinion of what you thought about them. The idea is that nobody ever gives 100% of themselves. There's always a story you hold back, or a choice you made that you regret, or just a part of your life that you feel doesn't paint you in the best light for somebody that you're trying to mentor and guide. We do that with our children. Yeah. We're not necessarily bringing up our worst choices, although they do come up as a lesson from time to time. We wanted to explore that and see the effect that it would have on Daniel to start seeing his mentor as a fallible human being. We felt that was a new and grounded approach to look at Mr. Miyagi. Then one of the other guys, Hurwitz, says, I was just going to add that we have become very good friends with Robert Mark Kamen, who obviously created the Karate Kid franchise and created the character of Mr. Miyagi. We talk at length with him about Mr. Miyagi and all his life. And they ask, so he's aware of the storyline, and they said very much so.
Oh, that's cool. Talked with the creator of Miyagi.
Yeah. I'm glad character. They're in touch with him about this stuff. Cool. They said, we learned Chosen never got a call back from Kumiko. So is this love story over? He says, one thing that we'll get to explore in season 6, part 2 is Chosen's love life. Just because he didn't get that call back doesn't mean that he's necessarily fully over it. We'll see if he ends up reconnecting with Kumiko at some point this season, or if his heart leads in a different direction, AKA Daniel's wife. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
And then last, they say, Quan seems like he's going to be a formidable adversary for the Miyagi-Do team at the Sakai Taikai. What can you tease about his upcoming story? Heald says, Brandon H. Lee. His name's Brandon Lee. I believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. It's crazy.
Is a world champion in martial arts and karate, and has been in and around the world of acting, mainly in the stunt world, and has been wanting to cross over. This ended up being the absolute perfect opportunity. We saw his audition, fell in love with his personality, and then saw him take on the character on camera, and he took it to a whole new level. He just embodied the cocky strength and attitude and charisma that we had on the page. You're going to see a lot of him in the middle five episodes. He was one of our favorite people to work with and one of our favorite characters to write to. And then Hurwitz says, the one thing I will add about him is when we first saw his audition, he did his slate first, where he introduced himself, and he was just the nicest guy in the world and a giant Cobra Kai fan in the sweetest way possible. And we were like, how can he be this character? It was our one note to him, like, you have to be the meanest person of all time. It was hard to shake what a sweetheart he was. We were like, can he really play this guy? But when we gave him a little bit of direction, he was off the charts.
Cool. So
he's awesome.
Super nice guy in real life.
Mm. Well, he's got nothing to be afraid of, right?
Yep.
Being such so a badass. Yeah.
No, he's going to lose. Going down. We don't have enough time to humanize him.
Yep. He's got to be the pure evil bad guy. Bad element.
Maybe. We'll see. All right. So we're going into some listener feedback. Here's Steve Brown.
Hello, Cobra Kai cast. This is Steve, and this is going to be for Cobra Kai season 6, episode 5. Okay, so a little bit of Tori's backstory. Do we know what's going on with her mom and her brother here? She said her mom made them dinner, but is laughing and still needs her pain meds. Oh, and is that Kreese coming in behind her? Well, good for you, Tori. Just walk away from him. Wheaties boxes, ZZ Top videos. Great, Johnny. That's what you should be thinking about. Hey, they're actually going to fight to see who should fight. That's a novel idea, guys. You know, I'm familiar right. with some of those movies that Johnny was showing him. I didn't get all of them. Oh, that's not good. Tori's mom on the floor. Oh, her mom did die. Oh, that's just... There's nobody for Tori to go to. She has people, but she's not going to them for some reason. Oh, I mean, it's good to see that Daniel's still got the old car running, but of course he's training Miguel and Sam all by himself, and Johnny just caught him. Johnny, no, don't do the Jerry Maguire moment. Come on, that's not going to happen. Okay, I love this miscommunications between people that, but the show really is trying to ramp up the drama between Robbie and Miguel and Tori and Sam, of course. This little conversation between Robbie and Miguel about, oh, my life doesn't deserve changing and because I'm not going to college and stuff. Come on. Your life is just as important, Robbie, and Miguel knows that. Ooh, that kick by Miguel just, whoa. Ooh, and here comes Tori. I don't understand. Miguel doesn't have to be the captain to go fight at the Sakai. He just, not being the captain doesn't mean, I don't know. Yes, that means he doesn't fight the final fight at the Sakai Taikai, right? Yeah. Oh, Tori, you're fighting with real emotion now. Oh, but that little extra kick there, that wasn't right. Oh, no, Tori, you're not supposed to make these kind of emotional decisions at this time. That's bad. Oh, so now we see how Hawk gets to go to Barcelona. He's going to take Tori's spot, but Tori's still going to go, right? She's going to go join up with Kreese, isn't she? Oh, here we are in Spain. And what's going to be the end shot? What's going to be the cliffhanger? Of course, it had to be Tori in a Cobra Kai gi standing next to Kreese on to November.
Yep.
When he was saying fight to see who should fight, what a novel idea. I was like, yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking. If they would have had all these pre-qualifying rounds be that, then it would have start to get maybe kind of tedious, you know? So that's why they did that whole, what was it?
Chasing Battle the chicken.
Royale.
Yeah.
And all that.
Grab the flag.
Rich, you want to read Sean's
thing? John Hoyle, yeah. So Sean Hoyle writes in, this was a mixed bag with a frustrating end. The Tori stuff with her dealing with her mother's passing was amazing, and she really knocked it out of the park. And then the wheels fell off. The rest really felt like a retread of themes we've already had, and I thought, my, we were beyond that, but I guess not. And the fact that Kreese keeps showing up all over the place as a wanted fugitive is a real problem. Is there no TSA or border services in the world? I've loved this show since day one, when it was a little-known show only on YouTube, but this has to be the worst start to a season by far. I hope they can right this ship.
I would say I could maybe get on board that this is the worst, but I still think it's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if at the very least, it's one hell of a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but hey, our opinions are subjective.
Yep.
All right, we got one more call from Mike Caruso.
Hello again, Jason, Rima, and Richard. It's Mike from Cincinnati, and I'm here to talk about Cobra Kai Season 6, Episode 5, The Best of the Best. And we started off this 5-episode stretch with the dojo being more united than ever. And now we end this 5-episode stretch with the dojo feeling divided and in disarray. Is the writing of this first 5-episode stretch kind of like a result of how they left season 5 off in a place where if they didn't get renewed for a 6th season, it would feel satisfying? You know, like one of the only threads that was hanging out there was Kreese escaping from jail. But overall, it felt pretty good. So I almost wonder if that is why this 5-episode stretch really felt like they were creating a lot of tension within the dojo. You know, we needed something more than just the conflict of going to the Sekai Taikai in and of itself. By the way, I looked that up. Apparently,
wait, I'm just going to pause it because you're reminding me they always wanted to do more. They always said they had more story, but they didn't know officially that they were going to get to do more. So I think you're probably right, Mike, that they wrote to an ending that would feel satisfying at the end of season 5, just in case, but they left a little bit out there, but it turned out not to be enough. Like you said, just having Kreese out there isn't enough. So now they're having to spend this first 5 stirring up a lot of conflict.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But I wanted to say, it felt like with the additional episodes that this season is getting on the whole, being a 15-episode season as opposed to a 10-episode season, they were allowed to let the season as a whole breathe a little more and create all these extra thread lines and plot lines and subplots. And I think the show has really benefited from it. Also, we had a little bit of an extended runtime on this finale mm-hmm. episode compared to some of the rest of the episodes of the series, minutes. Which is kind of exciting. If you think about it, we'll probably get some more of those as we approach the end of the series. But all of this made me want to go back and try to think about what are all the major plots and subplots and try to count them out. So here's what I got. You've got Lee, Kenny, and Anthony. You've got Hawk and Dimitri. That's 2. You've got Kreese, Quan, and the Cobra Kai plotline. That's 3. You've got Tori and her personal life, which kind of turned into Tori and Kreese and going back to Cobra Kai. That's 4. Tori and Robbie, like whatever's going on there. That's 5. Tori and Sam, you know, Sam trying to reach this closure and, you know, Tori and her kind of letting bygones be bygones. 6. Miguel getting into the school that he wants to get into plotline. Mm-hmm. That's 7. Daniel and Mr. Miyagi's past plotline. That's 8. Chosen, whatever's going on with him. That's 9. 10. Daniel and Johnny. I mean, one of the most obvious plot lines we have going. They're in conflict again. And number 11, obviously the biggest one, I feel like, is the Sekai Taikai. So that's 11 at least plot lines and subplot lines that are all running together right now. Okay, and side note, as I was editing this, I realized I had forgotten Johnny and Carmen's baby, which is at least a 12th storyline, and I'm sure there's way more than that that I'm forgetting.
I mean, I'm pausing again. I would say Kreese and Johnny is a big plot line. Kreese said Johnny's his weakness. And just Johnny himself, just knowing where he's going to end up, I feel like that's a big deal for this show.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it looks like this next 5-episode chunk is probably going to largely deal with the Sekai Taikai itself. And my question is, do you think it'll take more than 5 episodes for that to play out? Because I feel like that could be the beginning and end of the actual Sekai Taikai, and that last 5-episode chunk could focus on some kind of conflict that climaxes outside of the tournament or any tournament, you know, like street fighting, basically. It could end with Ooh. That, but it's kind of exciting to try to imagine how all these storylines are going to play out. And I hope, really, really hope it comes to a satisfying conclusion, and I have faith that it will. But it looks like we're going to have to wait until Thanksgiving to get 5 episodes closer to that conclusion. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on this one. And until next time, happy Labor Day, happy daylight savings, and happy Halloween. Stay badass.
Get all those bases covered.
I like the street fighting idea, Mike. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Rocky V.
Yeah. How could you make the stakes higher? Street fight.
Fight to the death. Yeah. It seems like 10 episodes is too long for the Sekai Taikai. Really?
I think that's what they're going to do. Exactly.
Yeah, have something else for the last
middle
five.
Middle five, tournament, last five. Maybe one bleeds in and then the last five.
Yeah. I just hope it doesn't feel anticlimactic, because I always figured they would end with this worldwide tournament, you know?
Yeah, I did too. This was a surprise. But you said in the news too, we're going to find out more about Chosen.
Mm-hmm. That's like I said, this is Chosen and Kumiko fighting for the last five. All right, that is our show. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. It's been really fun talking about this show again. It's too long to have to wait 2 years, but now we only have to wait a few months and we get to talk about it some more. Next episode, Cobra Kai season 6, episode 6, something. They don't give the names out ahead of time, but it's out November 15th in a new batch of 5 episodes.
If you want to write in or send us a voice message about it, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, please check out our other podcasts.
Yeah, Lucy and I, my co-host on The Cast of Us, have been having a great time with our Walking Dead rewatch. We are now up to the one where Michonne stabs the governor's eye out. We're talking about that tomorrow.
Oof.
It's a fun, heartwarming show.
Bad day for the governor.
Yep.
All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Big circle. Big circle. Breathe in, breathe out.
Elbow to the face!